Let's call the meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:30 p.m. on Thursday, March 12th, 2015. Present today are Senator Stedman, Senators Egan, Senator Bishop, Senators McKinnon is in another committee presenting a bill, and Senator Hoffman will be along shortly. I would like to recognize the staff today, Ann Kreckelberg. Hi, Ann. And Donna Fox Page is our teleconference moderator. Thank you both for being here today. My staff committee is Mr. John Manley and Ms. Brittany Hutchison. Before we start, we all know the cell phone policy. Today's meeting, we're going to hear SB 19 by Senator Coghill and regarding boundaries of road service areas, and then SB 56 by Governor Walker regarding the municipal energy improvement, assessment, and bonds. I want to remind the committee that our last committee meeting, we adopted the CS to SB 19. We're now working off version W. All members should have that. So with that, Senator Coghill is not in the room, but I see Reneva Moss is here. Please come forward, put your name on the record, and give us a brief overview.
For the record, Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. As you indicated, Mr. Chairman, you adopted version W last week, and in my closing comments, I made reference to a difference of opinion for a section in the statute, section C3, and we have come to an agreement between the borough and our legal department as to what C3 actually means, so I have submitted an amendment to version W that would clarify that if a parcel is partially in a road service area and the access to that parcel is the only access to that parcel is a road service, a road maintained by the service area, the borough assembly, by a vote of the borough assembly without a vote of the service area, can annex the complete parcel into the road service area, and that is amendment W1.
Okay. We have the amendment. Senator Stedman?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and move amendment number one.
Okay. If no one objects, I will for the purposes of discussion.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So what this bill now does is two things. It makes two exemptions from having a vote of the service area in two cases. The first case is if a parcel is in two separate service areas, the borough assembly can, by a vote of the borough assembly, place both sections of that parcel in one service area instead of two. The other thing it does now with the amendment is it provides if there is a parcel that is partially in a road service area and the homeowner has to use the roads in that service area to access that parcel, the borough assembly can put the entire parcel into the service area. And just for information, millage rate on road service areas, I checked on our road service area and it was 1.89 mils, which means if you had a $20,000 parcel, you're talking about $38 in additional taxes.
Thank you. Any questions from committee members? And I'd like the record to reflect that, Senator, just like I said, Senator Hoffman would be here just momentarily. And thank you for joining us, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you.
Any questions from committee members? I'm going to remove my objection and ask any other committee members have questions.
No further objection.
Okay. Any public testimony? We have Michael Breedlie from Fairbanks. Did I get that right, Michael?
Bradley.
Sorry. I apologize.
No problem. It happens all the time. No worries. So, good afternoon. You know, for the record, my name is Michael Bradley, spelled B-R-E-D-L-I-E. I'm the Rural Services Manager for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Fairbanks North Star Borough in support of SB 19. You know, our borough has 105 road service areas, and with dozens of parcels that are only partially, you know, in a road service area, or that could be split between two separate road service areas. And, you know, in the past, We've had instances where we tried to bring a parcel completely in to a road service area through the existing statute. We held the election, but it was unsuccessful because nobody from the service area voted. So this SBI team will provide us the ability to include the entire parcel without voter approval, which will help us greatly. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. I appreciate it. And any other questions from committee members? Seeing none, do I have a motion to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we move CS for Senate Bill 19 as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Everyone get the...
We're back on the record. Next up, we'll have Senate Bill 56, requested by Governor Walker. It will be presented by Emily Ford and Jean Terrio from the Alaska Energy Authority, AEA. Please come up, state your name and record rank for the record, and proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jean Terrio with the AEA. I am the Director of Energy Policy and Outreach. And I'd like to just provide a few comments of introduction, and then Ms. Ford is going to actually walk you through the bill. In 2010, the legislature established a number of energy policies for the state, one of which was to have establishing the goal of an increase in energy efficiency across the state of 15% by the year 2020. AEA operates a number of programs that assist with energy efficiency, as does the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. We partner with them And of course, we've got weatherization programs out there that are also operated. One of the programs that AEA operates is the Commercial Facility Energy Audit Program. Through that program, over the past couple of years, we have helped commercial buildings perform 150 commercial buildings perform energy audits. However, few of them have actually taken the information from those audits and moved forward to actually perform the energy efficiency. The few that have actually been able to achieve a 30% reduction in their energy use. So we know the audits are providing good information. We're just trying to figure out why it is that the individual building owners are not able to follow through with the suggested improvements. Through my association with the National Association of State Energy Officials, a national group that I actually sit on the board of directors of, I became aware of PACE financing and the efforts across the nation and the success that different states were having. And so based on that, I engaged with a number of the other energy officials in that organization to find out a little bit more information about what, in fact, was happening across the nation. One of the things that I learned was the initial attempts at PACE financing, which included many times PACE financing, which is Property Assessed Clean Energy Financing, for commercial properties and residential, ran into difficulties with the federal secondary loan market and opposition to inclusion of residential properties. However, for commercial properties, there seems to be no opposition. In the 31 or 32 different states across the nation, commercial properties are starting to take advantage of PACE financing to do energy improvements and reap the benefit of those improvements. One of the issues that the states did advise me of, though, that was that in their initial efforts, where they empowered local governments to initiate PACE financing, if you were in a state where the local governments were able to completely autonomously create different PACE financing all across the state, the lenders were not able to really come to grips with exactly how the financing worked in the state, and therefore the lenders really weren't coming forward to provide the funds for the lending. And so what a number of states have done is sort of gone back, reconfigured their statutes to bring a level of uniformity across the state. It still is a local mechanism that the local governments decide to use. No commercial property owner is required to use it. But if, in fact, it's to be allowed in a state, if you can have a certain amount of uniformity, then the bankers can get their minds around it and figure out exactly how they can move forward and help the state to achieve the goals that are intended. The bill that is before you today is patterned after a recent piece of legislation in the state of Texas. One of the provisions that Emily will outline as she walks through the bill is a provision in there that if the commercial property has an existing loan, so in a mortgage, before they can do PACE financing, they have to go to the holder of that mortgage, the local bank, and get that bank's approval before they can do the PACE financing. That helps to alleviate concerns that the local lenders have with whether they're going to become a secondary lien, and has helped in a number of other states to, again, move this mechanism forward so that it is now actually being used to produce the benefits that are intended. And so with that, I think, other than giving a tip of the hat to Senator Egan, it's my understanding that the senator either considered legislation previously or actually had a piece of legislation in that proposed this. And now, based on the success that it's having in the lower 48, we think the timing is right to give it another try. And so with that, I'll turn the mic over to Ms. Ford so she can walk you through the provisions of the bill.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Emily Ford. I'm the Energy Policy and Outreach Manager for the Alaska Energy Authority. And I'll just quickly back up a little bit and talk a little bit about PACE financing, what it is, the benefits, and then walk you through Senate Bill 56, which is before you. Commercial property assessed clean energy programs allow property owners to finance qualifying energy efficiency improvements over time through a voluntary assessment on their property tax bill. So this is voluntary participation by both the municipality and commercial building owners. Mortgage holder consent, as Gene had mentioned, is required before applications are even approved. And improvements can include energy efficiency efforts, renewable energy, conversion to natural gas, high-efficiency boilers, and additional energy efficiency improvements, and the repayment obligation transfers with the sale of the property. The goal of any energy efficiency improvement or renewable energy project is to lower your operating costs or to lower your energy costs. So by energy efficiency upgrades are financed with capital secured by a primary lien on the property. Lower interest capital and favorable repayment terms can be raised from the private sector. So this allows for a longer repayment period, allowing for the building owner to recognize immediate operational savings while repaying the debt. Traditional lending sources can be used, and in Alaska, as Jean had said, it provides consistency with existing state energy goals. 31 states have authorized PACE programs, and we did work with the Department of Law on the crafting of the legislation, and it is required that state legislatures must provide the authority for local governments to essentially expand their taxation powers. Municipalities can create the program and select the financing models, and I'll go a little over that a little bit in the next slide. And there are many national resources available to both governments and consumers and lenders. PACE Now, CPACE, and the U.S. Department of Energy actually has a packet of information that includes sample contracts, marketing materials, and kind of a turnkey operation for those who choose to use the PACE financing mechanism. So this slide is intended to be a real high-level demonstration of the different types of models that a municipality may choose to implement. On one side of the spectrum, you have a very local government-driven model where the property assessment office absorbs as additional work, or a municipality may create a PACE office. There's municipal bond financing available for improvement efforts. On the other side of the spectrum, you have more of a private sector-driven, where either a third-party administrator is used, and also private financing is emphasized. What we've seen most commonly is the hybrid model, where all potential funding sources are available for use with this program. That could include bonds, revolving loan funds, and private capital. And smaller governments can contract with other communities or local organizations to administer the program. So Senate Bill 56 was introduced by Governor Walker with a companion bill, House Bill 118, Muni Energy Improvement Assessments and Bonds. This is authorizing legislation for local governments who collect property taxes to choose to create a PACE program and allow commercial property owners to pay, to opt in. And there are 24 eligible local governments. So Section 1 of the bill would add new statute under Alaska Statute 29, adding a new chapter, AS 2949, Municipal Property Clean Assessed Energy, Property Assessed Clean Energy Act, excuse me. AS 2949-020 would allow for a property tax assessment to be added for financing of qualified projects on real property. So the improvements must be made on real property, not vacant lots or property that's being developed. And this must be permanent measures, not temporary products or anything permanently affixed to the property. AS 2949-030 would require a written contract between the local government and the record owner of the real property.
Excuse me, I have a question real quick. So not to finance purchase, or, you know, this third bullet here. How would that work for, like, let's say that there's a manufacturing business in your community that manufactures modular homes. Could maybe go to the North Slope of Alaska. Would they be considered in this, or could they qualify? Was this for like new construction, or a commercial grade camp, like a North Slope camp, or something of that? You know, where, you see where I'm trying to go, Gene?
I don't think it would apply to the scenario that you're setting up. It really just applies to a commercial property, an existing commercial property,
okay,
that wants to take measures to improve the efficiency of their operation. So if you're talking about a local manufacturer that's manufacturing that camp, their facilities could take advantage of it, but the product that they put out would not be able to.
Thank you.
Alaska Statute 2949-040 establishes the program. So the local government may enter into a contract with a property owner to impose an assessment. And as we mentioned earlier, the financing can be provided by the municipality or a third party. And if the third party financing is used, the municipality, the third party financer, and the real property owner must each enter into a contract. And the assessment may impose may cover some additional costs for the property owner, including permit and landing fees, project development, and engineering costs. AS 2949-050 designates the eligible region. So the municipality's governing body may designate one or more areas of the municipality as a PACE eligible region. The next two slides go over AS 2949-060, the procedures to define, the definitions of the procedure to create a PACE program. So if the municipality chooses to create a PACE program, the governing body of the municipality must adopt a resolution of intent. And the resolution of intent must include a statement that the municipality intends to make PACE available to property owners, descriptions of qualified projects, boundaries of the region, describes available financing, the municipal debt service procedures, and how the public can access information. Next, the governing body must hold a public hearing with opportunity for public comment, and then adopt a resolution establishing the program, and this includes the terms. And there's also a publicly available report requirement that's included in later statutes. And the program itself and the description of each aspect of the program may only be amended after another public hearing. And the municipality may hire and set compensation for a program administrator or staff and impose fees to offset the cost of administering the program. And this can be a flat application fee or a component of the interest rate. The next two slides are AS 2949-070, and it's the requirements for the publicly available program report. And in this report, this is where the municipality defines the map of the region boundaries, includes sample forms and contracts, a description of qualified projects, a plan for ensuring sufficient capital, and if bonds are used, the report must include the maximum aggregate annual dollar amount for financing, a method for ranking requests from property owners, and a method for determining the interest rate and maximum amount of an assessment. And there must also be a method for ensuring that the repayment period does not exceed the useful life of the qualified project. Here are some additional requirements of the report, an explanation of the assessment and collection process, the lender notice requirements, the review requirements, marketing and education services, quality assurance and anti-fraud measures, collection procedures, and a requirement for the appropriate ratio between the assessment and the property value. And there's also some detailed requirements to make sure that the qualified applicant can demonstrate financial ability to fulfill their financial obligations. And the report must be publicly available online and then also in the offices. AS 2949-080 requires notice to the mortgage holder, but this is because this becomes the primary lien on the property. 2949-090 requires a third-party baseline energy audit to be completed before the measures are implemented, and this must include projected energy savings. And then once a project is complete, the municipality shall obtain a third-party verification that the that the project was properly completed and operating as intended. AS 2949-100 allows direct acquisition by the owner. AS 2949-110 states that the contractual of the assessment must be noticed and filed in the real property records. AS 2949-210, contractual assessments and any interest or penalties are primary liens on the property. The only exceptions are municipal tax liens and special assessments, and these liens stay with the land and are not eliminated by foreclosure. And penalties and interest may be added to delinquent installments, and municipalities may cover costs and expenses to collect a delinquent installment. AS 2949-130, collection of assessments allows municipalities to contract with another governing body of another taxing unit to perform assessments and collections. And this is important for smaller communities that may not have the local capacity to implement a PACE program. They're allowed to contract with a larger municipality to implement the program. AS 2949-140 allows municipalities to issue bonds. They may not be general obligation bonds, and they must be secured by one or more of the following: payments of contractual assessments, municipal reserves, municipal bond insurance, and any other funds lawfully available for purposes consistent with the chapter. And finally, the last slide, AS 2949150 allows for joint implementation. So a combination of municipalities may join together to implement the program, or they can contract with a third party. So this could be like an Alaska Municipal League or a third-party entity that can actually create a regional PACE program. And AS 2949160 discusses prohibited acts that permits, licenses, and authorizations cannot be made contingent on a commercial building entering a PACE program. And then definitions, the short title, and Section 2 establishes an immediate effective date.
Okay, thank you. It's a lot of information. We're going to, just for the record, we're going to hear and hold this bill today because there's a lot here to digest. It's about 10 pages. Senator Egan, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Emily, you and I talked briefly about this, but I'm just going to hear it from Gene's mouth. Last time we tried this, there were concerns from financial institutions. Actually, came in and testified against it. Do you think that those, in this legislation, that those concerns are addressed?
I think back at that time, the split between residential PACE or a PACE yeah. program that applied to residential properties and commercial properties had not really taken place. There was litigation, actual litigation, where Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac sued a number of states and jurisdictions opposing the residential component. And the problem that they had with it was they did not want their residential loan to become secondary to this PACE financing. And so what most states have done is separate the two, move forward with commercial PACE, where the lenders feel much more comfortable, especially if there is this requirement that PACE financing is to be done on a property that they hold paper on. You have to get the bank's approval. Many times that bank holding that initial mortgage is the one that perhaps will provide the PACE financing.
Or get stuck.
Pardon?
Or get stuck.
With the loan.
Oh. The loan.
Yeah.
On a default.
It could. But the PACE improvements are improving the collateral for their mortgage. And so they feel much more comfortable with that. And so across the nation, by separating out the residential, which the banks mm-hmm. oppose, from the commercial, it has allowed the commercial PACE financing to move forward. And we have, last fall, I started interacting with the Alaska Banking Association, letting them know that we were considering the concept. I let them know that we were likely to pattern things after the Texas model, which had additional protections in there for banks. I don't know that the Banking Association will actually step forward with a resolution or letter of support. But I believe at this point they feel comfortable as long as that provision requiring their approval before PACE financing on a facility that they hold paper on is required, then I think they're going to be okay. They're going to be watching, though, to make sure that provision stays in the legislation.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from committee members? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at your fiscal note, and it shows a zero fiscal note. How is this program going to be implemented with a zero fiscal note? You have the audits, the before audit, the after audit, the paper, all the paperwork.
Mr. Chairman, all of that, the operation of those programs, is taken care of at the local level. That's when the municipality decides whether they want to initiate PACE. They're also signing up to cover those costs and do those post audits, and they are allowed to charge fees at the local level to cover those local costs. So the fiscal note really is that the state is not committing any money to this. We're allowing a mechanism and a framework that if the local governments want to choose to use this, that they can, but they would then be required to either provide a pool of money at the local level if they want to do it through a bonding mechanism, or work through with local banks who want to bring capital for the loans. The state, though, is not committing cash.
And I don't believe, and through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I don't believe that the costs of the actual audit and the third-party review afterwards necessarily have to be borne by the municipality either. They just have to obtain the verification, so it could be a third-party audit obtained by the building owner itself and then provided to the municipality to verify those results.
Any other questions? We do have, I think, one online to testify today, comment on the bill. Is that right? We have Mayor Hopkins from the Fairbanks North Star Borough online. Mayor Hopkins, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Senator Bishop and committee members. I am Mayor Luke Hopkins, Fairbanks North Star Borough, and this is a we support this. We submitted a letter of support, but I want to say that for our community and others that I'm sure have property taxes, which I would say could be the municipalities that are noted in this bill, that could work together, and I think we do that in our area. The option of having owners of commercial facilities to be able to utilize PACE financing for energy improvements, which I would call energy conversions even, to more efficient methods. Senator Bishop, if I may, I'm sure you understand exactly what we're talking about in the Fairbanks North Star Borough with our energy issues. Other communities have energy issues too, but I'm speaking about the local option would be our assembly. It's always local option. I appreciate the issue that it's by resolution, even with all the points that have to be accommodated in a program. That's what we do with many other pieces. It's an important piece to get the commercial side of our property owners to be able to have a method to reasonably get financing to also convert and make energy improvements. And again, I would say convert because that's the word of the day here in our community, prepare for this conversion. So I would appreciate the support for this bill. I think that the process that's well laid out in so many other states, the National Association of Counties has regular sessions on how counties, and I'd call them boroughs, can participate in this, and it's a piece that has to be put into the state law. So this is a good thing, pretty simple for the state legislature to work through and give us the opportunity to assist our commercial owners of our property. Thank you very much. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Hopkins. Any questions of the mayor from committee members? All right. Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And see, it's a little chilly up there in Fairbanks today, huh?
Yes, it's not as bad as it was for those that were on their way to Nenana and then Manly and out there. Those dog-powered Iditarod race got pretty cold for them. Had about 34 below at my house, but they were a little chillier and going on the Yukon River, the Tanana on Yukon. So they're doing good, though. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, well, thanks for supporting that great kickoff up there. Okay. We do have two people online for questions only from AEA. And if they have nothing to add, I'm going to close public comment at this time. And I'd like to say that public comment is closed. And like I prefaced it earlier, but we're going to set this bill aside. I'd like to take a brief at ease for one moment. For the committee today,
Mr. Chairman, just if I could, one of the things that Mayor Hopkins was alluding to is, although this is a statewide effort, it would apply to any municipality that has property tax powers. In the Fairbanks North Star Borough, where we are preparing to hopefully convert as much of the community from fuel oil to natural gas, which does qualify as an energy efficient step because those heating appliances are so much more efficient than fuel oil. It has perhaps special meaning for us because within the core of Fairbanks, where most of the businesses and light industrial is, if we can help them to convert to natural gas more quickly, that helps the delivery and distribution of natural gas get up and running with more customers with larger volume sooner rather than later. Many of those businesses may also have the capability of having a dual fuel situation, so that if we have a cold snap and there is an interruption with delivery of LNG to the community, they could switch back and actually help the community bridge a very cold snap while a temporary disruption is taken care of. So helping that business core switch over, help giving them the tools and the local government the tools, could be very beneficial, but it is a tool that would be applicable statewide.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, with that, I'd like to adjourn today's meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs at 4:07.
Not bad.
We're adjourned.